Welcome to the Human Flourishing Project. I'm Alex Epstein. On today's show, I'm going to talk about my productive role models for 2021. And it's going to be a brief show, in part because, as I've mentioned over the past at least one, I think two episodes, I've been having some issues with overuse of my voice, but also the way I use my voice is supposedly problematic for my throat, and I'm getting voice therapy soon, but I don't have it yet, so I need to limit my speaking. But hopefully that will benefit you in that I will be that much more succinct and time efficient. So let's jump in. Talking about my productive role models for 2021. Over the last year or two, my perspective on what my ideal is productively for myself, and this has implications for productivity in general, although not all of these things apply to everyone, I think. Some of them do, but it's changed a decent amount. And I want to highlight today some of the people that have become role models for me, but in particular, what are the common characteristics they have? And really, that's going to be the focus. And I'll mention them at the outset, and then I'll mention them intermittently as I go through. But I'll give some names. So there's John Danaher, who right now is the most successful jiu-jitsu coach in the world. There's Cal Newport, whom I discussed a few weeks ago, who has the Deep Questions podcast, who wrote Deep Work and has a new book that I'm looking forward to reading, A World Without Email. There is Sam Ovens, creator of consulting.com, and I just learned also something called school.com, S-K-O-O-L.com. That is not publicly available, but I've seen it. It's pretty damn cool. Jim Collins, author of Good to Great. Gerard Carmichael, the comedian and director. And then he doesn't know I'm including him, but my co-founder of Thoughtful, Brian Ammerich. So what is it about these six people that I find worth modeling? And just at a broad level, these are all people who seem to have a lot of career satisfaction and who are just making a sustained and, they're engaging in sustained and increasing, and I would, related to sustained, is like highly motivated value creation. So these are people who over days and weeks and months and years are creating things that I consider very valuable and they consider very valuable, and they are getting a lot of satisfaction out of that. Now, I would attribute a bunch of those attributes to my own work, but I've noticed in the last 2 years in particular, I've become much more focused and much more like that. And part of that has been observing these people and looking at what they have in common and using them as role models. So I'll talk about some of the attributes that they have in common. So the first and the broadest one is focus. And I talked about focus several weeks ago in terms of six types of focus, so I won't say too much about it now, but these are people who generally exhibit all of those types of focus. Certainly, they're focused in one, maybe in Cal Newport might be the exception, two productive areas. They're allocating a lot of time toward it. During that time, as far as I can tell, they're not screwing around. They're really locked into it. And that is a lot of what enables them to just engage in sustained value contribution. So focus I've talked a lot about, so I want to focus on the other elements. The second element I want to talk about is optimizing for value creation, not advertising. And you could say not marketing, but I'm using advertising deliberately. Optimizing for value creation, not advertising. Maybe a way to introduce this point is a point that Jeff Bezos made some years ago, which is that in the world of products and sales, product quality would become more and more important as people gained more knowledge, as the internet gave people more knowledge about what's good and what's not. And then your advertising ability, he might have called it marketing ability, became less and less comparatively important. The reason I'm calling it advertising instead of marketing is I think marketing properly is part of product development. And so part of it is the core marketing is to think about and understand the valuation of your market, not in the sense of how much it's worth, but like how, what your market's values are. And I think of that as a lot of product creation. So I don't want to separate that, but you know, Bezos is a great example, career-wise. I mean, he's amazing in terms of what he's done. And he definitely has this focus on value creation above all. Like, I'm going to create this amazing value. And yeah, I need to advertise it. Yeah, I need to do all these other things, but the core of it is value creation. If I look at someone like John Danaher in jiu-jitsu, you know, this is a guy who, he's become incredibly well-known, but for years he was in obscurity. And when he became well-known at first, to some extent, it was just because he had been the coach of George St. Pierre, who's one of the most successful MMA fighters of all time, and George talked about him. But John seemed to be spending almost no time talking about himself, maybe even deliberately avoiding that, but just focused on value creation and just over time progressing in such a way that he just had a huge advantage over everybody else. And these other people I'm talking about as well, I'd say, I mean, Jim Collins, in a sense, he's good at advertising, but this guy just goes into a windowless room for years at a time, as far as I can tell, and just comes up with amazing value. Or Sam Ovens, he's somebody who knows a lot about advertising, but his whole focus is like, I'm just going to make something that is so valuable. And that is what I am going, that's going to be my focus. Everything else is derivative. Related to optimizing value creation, not advertising, is very little need for short-term feedback. And I would include under short-term feedback, certainly social media feedback. This is something that has really made a difference observing this. Very little need for short-term feedback. Looking at a lot of these guys, so I'll use Brian, whom I've gotten to work with for the last 2 years on Thoughtful, which, by the way, you can sign up for. The generic sign-up is at thoughtful.community, and at some point in the not-too-distant future, we'll be letting people in. But I've gotten to work with Brian, who had a very, very successful career at Facebook before we started working together. And one thing is that he is able to be really focused on a project where he's getting basically no feedback from the external world for a while. Now, we get feedback from users and we use that, but certainly there's not like, there are a million things he could be doing where he would be getting a lot of public attention. And actually, he was in very high demand from media when he left Facebook, and he did that, and he'll probably continue to do a little bit, but his focus is like, I'm focused on value creation. That's what gives me satisfaction. Short-term feedback / approval from other people, that does not interest me. And you look at like Sam Ovens, he can just disappear seemingly. I mean, he works with his clients, but from the, like, he won't post on YouTube for a year or two. And it's just like, hey, where are you? What are you doing? And it can seem like the public, oh, you're not doing anything. But no, if you don't see that guy, you know there's something really cool going on. And I find this so, I can see so much success being involved in not needing the short-term feedback and really having the satisfaction from doing the work. And this relates to my next point, which is making daily progress in small increments. Jim Collins has a concept related to this, which I think is called the 20-mile march. And this is just the idea that, you know, the really successful companies are just, you know, one foot in front of the other day in, day out. And part of what allows one to do that, just making that, John Danaher talks a lot about Kaizen, which is a Japanese concept about incremental improvement every day. And his view is it's not you're killing yourself or you're just doing one heroic lunge forward. It's just every day you're getting a little bit better. And I think part that relates to the not being focused on short-term feedback, where the people who are truly satisfied from creating value, what they find satisfaction in is just the incremental progress every day. And I've been finding that particularly working on a book for the past 2 years, where just so much of the satisfaction is just every day learning a little bit more, doing a little bit more. And then when I look at my motivation for the future, I can just see really years worth of stuff that I want to figure out and progress in. But I used to be much more motivated by, oh yeah, this is going to lead to this influence, or this is going to lead to this sort of external success. And those things have some value, but it's really, no, this is going to be like, there are so many interesting things to figure out and progress on ahead of me. And that's what's exciting. Another attribute that these role models have in common is belief in superior methodology. So the belief that, hey, there's something about the way I'm going about doing things, or maybe it might be what's distinctive about my product, that like I have a different, you know, this is really important. But it's that they're able to have that belief and it relates to the others. They don't need it validated all the time. And it motivates them in terms of, I'm going to create huge value over time, but not I'm going to be recognized for my superior methodology. So it's ironically, like if you think you're onto something, but you need too much feedback, you're never going to develop it to the point where it's really, really valuable. And someone I haven't used, I think, yet as an example, Gerard Carmichael, he has a really good interview with Tim Ferriss that I highly recommend. And I think he views himself as having a distinctive comedic perspective, and I would agree. And that, but he exhibits that in his different things. But again, he's not looking for short-term feedback. I mean, this is a guy who is not on social media. You don't see him talking. I mean, even with all of the racial, he's a black comedian, all the racial issues this year, I didn't see any commentary from him. And I can imagine people say, well, how could you not do that? I think his view is, well, look, I'm focused on value creation. I can only do so much. This is what what I'm doing now is the most valuable thing that I can be doing. And his Tim Ferriss interview really exhibits that. And then the final thing is big vision kept mostly to self. So this is related to belief in superior methodology, but like listening to John Danaher or Cal Newport at different times, you'll hear the vision, or sometimes in retrospect, you'll hear the vision. So learning about John Danaher's vision from 20 years ago is fascinating, but it's very revealing that he didn't declare his whole vision to the world and say, like, look at how great my vision is. But it's like he had this internal vision and he was able to pursue it for years and years and years in either obscurity or in, you know, I'm sure he thought and probably still thinks, look, my approach to things, it would make a lot more sense if it were more widely adopted. And like, I have a vision of a world where it's more widely adopted, but just the ability to keep persisting and to have that vision as an internal guide and probably as a guide with people that one deals with without announcing it to the world. Now, I think you can, there is value sometimes in announcing a vision to the world, but I think it really needs to be instrumental. That is, I'm doing this to bring certain people on board, but not doing it in some way that I want validation or I want positive feedback for the vision. So those are the qualities. There's focus, optimizing for value creation, not advertising, very little need for short-term feedback, daily progress in small increments, belief in superior methodology, and a big vision kept mostly to self. And I believe that those are some big components of a recipe that at least works for a lot of people. And I found the more that I adopt those and internalize those, the more enjoyable my productive life becomes, and certainly the more productive it becomes. So I will continue to follow these people and try to adopt these attributes as much as possible, as well as to look for other attributes of people that I consider role models. If you have any productive role models or insights about what makes them role models, feel free to share that with me. As always, you can email me questions, comments, love mail, or hate mail at alex@alexepstein.com. Also, if you want to follow the discussion on Facebook, go to facebook.com/humanflourishingproject. And that is it for this week. My voice seems to have held up decently, so I'm not going to push my luck. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, I'm Alex Epstein. This has been the Human Flourishing Project.